Esther chapter 6. I've entitled the lesson this morning, Mordecai Honored. I want us to go back and review just for a little bit. If you'll go back to chapter 4, verse 15, where Esther hears that of Haman's plot to have all the Jews killed on the 13th day of the 12th month. And Mordecai told her that maybe the Lord had put her as queen for such a time as this. And Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast you for me and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. And I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law." And she says, "If I perish, I perish." And Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. And then Mordecai goes and he prays. And then in chapter 5, we saw that Esther was received by the king. He held out the golden scepter and she was received. And then she told the king that he asked her what her request was. She said, "I want you and Haman to come for some wine." And then when they were come for the banquet of wine, she says, "I want to hold a banquet tomorrow for you and Haman." Can you imagine how Haman thinks? He thinks he's top dog. He thinks he's going to get honored and praised at this banquet. That's what he thinks. But when he leaves that banquet of wine, he happens to see Mordecai, who won't bow to him, sitting at the gate. And nothing can make him happy. He's been enriched with riches. He's been exalted. But none of that doesn't matter as long as Mordecai won't bow to him. And he wouldn't. That's the reason for the whole thing. Mordecai wouldn't bow to him. He's going to have a whole nation killed because one man won't bow to him. One man. So how is God going to work all this out in providence? It seems like Haman has his way and he goes home to his wife and his family. He thinks he'll get some encouragement there. They said, "Haman, what are you worried about? Why don't you just take care of Mordecai and that'll be the end of that?" They said, "Why don't you have a gallows built 75 feet tall and just hang him? Get permission from the king and hang him, and that'll do away with that, and you won't have to worry about him anymore." And that's how it ends in chapter 5. That's his plan. So during that night, he had a gallows built. And his whole objective is, you think about this whole night, what's on his mind? What's on Haman's mind? Killing this man. I'm going to take care of him. I won't have to worry about him anymore. He'll be out of my way. I can walk by the king's gate and he won't be there. He'll be out of my mind and out of my sight. That's what's on his mind. That's what he did. He seems to have his own way. He seems to. The Lord allows men to go to a certain point. The wrath of men will praise him, and the remainder of wrath thou wilt restrain. But so you'll understand this chapter a little bit further, I want you to turn back to chapter 2. And see this incident that happened. Chapter 2, verse 5. "Now in Shushan the palace there was a certain Jew, whose name was Mordecai." This is the first time we meet Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. "He had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jehoiakim, king of Judah, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried him away. So he's been here for a long time. And he brought up Hadash," that is Esther, "his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful. When Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took her as his own daughter and raised her." Now, verse 20 of chapter 2. "Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people. She had not told him she was a Jew, as Mordecai had charged her. Mordecai said, don't tell him you're a Jew. The whole time they think you will, so they think she's a Persian. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him. In those days, while Mordecai, here it is, sat in the king's gate, while he's there at the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door were wroth and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. Some has suggested that why were these men angry? They could have been angry because Esther was queen. Some thought they could have been mad because Mordecai was there at the king's gate. We don't really know, but for some reason they're mad enough, and they could have watched the king's bedchamber. They could have been his own bodyguards. They are plotting to kill the king. And Mordecai hears about it. You remember I said when we looked at that passage, that is what's going on in the world today. The world are plotting. If they could, they would jerk God plumb off the throne. They would jerk the Son of God off the throne. They're plotting. But you know what? The gospel exposes the plot. The gospel exposes the conspiracy. Who exposed it? Mordecai did. How's the king going to know about it? Without Mordecai, he'll be a dead man. And Mordecai, you know what he does? He tells Esther. And Esther tells the king. It says, verse 22, and the king was known to Mordecai. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it to Esther, the queen. And Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. It's in his name. He's the one that should have received the honor. He's the one that exposed it. And when inquisition was made of the matter, they checked it out. It was found out that he was telling the truth. Therefore, they were both hanged on a tree, as it is written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. So that's what happens. Mordecai has revealed this conspiracy. But before we get into the text, I wanted to look just for a minute at Mordecai. Where's he at? Where do we find him in this book? We find him at the king's gate. He's a porter. He's a gatekeeper. He was one of the doorkeepers of the court. Someone said whether he had this place before or Esther may have got him this position. I could see her exalting him, giving him favor because he was her cousin, and that's why he's there. But he did not seek anything greater. He didn't seek any position greater. You know, it says that David was willing to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord in Psalms chapter 84, verse 10. Now let me read verse 1 of Psalms 84, if you want to turn there. How admirable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. And it was a psalm for the sons of Korah. You know who the sons of Korah were? They were the porters. They were the gatekeepers. They were the doorkeepers of the house of God. Then in verse 10 of Psalms 84, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. One day in his court is better than 1,000 somewhere else. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Someone said to just get a glimpse of what's inside the court. Mordecai was content. Matthew Henry said, what David is saying there in Psalms 84 is, I prefer the place of worship before any other place. I'd rather be in the lowest place and office in the house of God than to dwell in state as a master in the tents of wickedness. Rather be a doorkeeper, somebody to sweep the floor or to take out the trash. The janitors. He said, I'd rather be a... And that's what Mordecai is. Mordecai, he's revealed the plot. He's saved the king, and he's still just a doorkeeper. He that was rich became poor, that we might be rich. took upon himself the form of a servant and was made obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, the Pharisees, they loved the synagogues because they wanted the uttermost seats. They would have never been a doorkeeper. You can guarantee you that. Haman would never be a doorkeeper. But he couldn't stand the one that was a doorkeeper. I can see him every day. If he's the doorkeeper, that means Haman has to walk by him. It could have been, we don't know. It could have, if there was a door there, Mordecai could have opened the door for him. And it just couldn't stand it. Some say that Psalms 84 could be written, "I'd rather be fixed to a post in the house of my God than to live at liberty in the tents of the wicked." He's making reference to the law concerning the bondservant. In Exodus 21, verse 5, "And the servant shall plainly say," this is speaking of Christ our Lord, because he's the faithful servant, "If the servant shall plainly say," if a Jew hired a servant, he could only keep him for so many years, then he had to turn him and go out free. But what if that servant don't want to leave? What if he doesn't want to leave as a servant? "I love my master, my wife, and my children." Because, see, if he came in as a single man and then he had children, the only way he could have children was because the king gave him children. If he went out, he had to leave free. He had to leave without his family. But he said, "I love my master, and I love my wife, and I love my children. Because I love them, I will not go out free. I won't leave. Then his master shall bring him to the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." That pictures our Lord. He still bears the mark of the servant in his side and in his hands. He's the servant that serves. And who couldn't more Haman stand? Mordecai. And he's the faithful servant. Faithful servant. All this speaks of our Lord. It says in Psalms 40, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ear hast thou opened." What does that mean, he's opened his ear? He listens to the master. He obeys the master. That's why it's his ear. His ear, he said, "Mine ear hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings thou hast not required." He made himself of no reputation, and he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. I can see Haman said, "Boy, I'm better than he is. Look how I'm exalted. Why won't he bow to me?" This is what makes men mad. Christ won't bow to man's will. You have to bow to his will. And they won't bow. They said, "We will not have this man to reign over us." So this is Mordecai's position. And you imagine what's going on in his mind. He's waiting to see what will happen. He doesn't know for sure. He's not heard. Has Esther had favor with the king? I hope she has. He doesn't know yet. He's waiting. He's waiting at night. What will the answer be? What will happen in the morning? If Haman gets his way, Mordecai will be dead in the morning. Unless God intervenes, Haman, if he has his way and can get the king to sign off on it, Mordecai will be dead. He's waiting on the Lord and he's going about his everyday business. Esther tells the king tomorrow she will hold a banquet and tell him and Haman what her request is. So that's where we're at. What happens that long night? What happens in the darkness? Imagine how long that night was if you knew what Haman was plotting. I can see him stay up all night. He said to build the gallows at night. He can't wait. He's impatient. And here's where we come to in chapter 6 on that night. On that night, could not the king sleep? Why can't he sleep? Why did God take his sleep from him? I don't think anything he could do could make him go to sleep. I know we read in places where God gives men a spirit of sleep, dark, deep sleep. This man, he's awake. The king's awake. I wonder what's on his mind. Have you ever just been times you just could not sleep? The more you tried, the worse it was. So he can't sleep. So what did the king do? You know what most kings did? When the king was disturbed that night when they had Daniel thrown into the lion's den, and he's done everything he could to get Daniel to be delivered, but he couldn't because he couldn't change the law of the Medes and the Persians, he called for the musicians to play to soothe his conscience. Saul did. He called for David to play on his harp. This man can't sleep, and he calls for the Chronicles. We have books in the Scriptures called the Chronicles. What are the Chronicles? They are the records of the king. They are the records of what has taken place. And you see, don't you not see the sovereignty here in God's providence? Go get the Chronicles. You want me to do what? I want you to go get the Chronicles and read the Chronicles. And that's what he does, because he's the king. Just imagine that God won't allow a person to sleep just so he can save his people. Just to take sleep from a man. He could not. On that night, could not the king sleep? And you know, he could have thought, I wonder what Esther's request is. I wonder what she wants. Because she didn't tell him the day before, she's making him wait. But he commanded to bring the book of the Chronicles, the book of the records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. Well, this happened on such and such a date, and this happened on such and such a date, and this is what the king did on this date. Someone said it may have been Mr. Gill or Matthew Henry. We don't know who this servant was that he told to read. Some said he could have been one of Haman's sons. And as he reads the record, he probably, that's talking about Mordecai. We don't want to read that. He said, I could see him doing that. And he turns the page because he has the book. And then someone said, you know, in the providence of God, God commanded him to go back, and he's forced to read it. And there's no altering the record. You see where I'm going now? There's no altering the record. You know what this book is? It's a record of our God's history, of the history of his people, his story, the salvation of his people. And there's some parts men would just rather not read. Right? You've heard me say, I heard one time a man was reading or talking to someone about salvation. He said, can I just read you a chapter of the Bible? I said, I don't see any problem with that. I don't see how that could hurt. So he read Romans chapter 9. And the man asked him that read it. He said, do you understand what I just read? He said, not the way you read it. They don't like the record. But he's forced to read this record. And what's the record? It was found written. It was found written. that Mordecai had told Bigthan and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door who sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. Well, if it was recorded, why was he forgotten for so long? Have you ever felt like you were forgotten? If you go back and read when it talks about when he delivered, exposed it, it says the very next time, the very next sentence, where it is in chapter 2, and when the inquisition was made of the matter, verse 23, it was found, therefore, they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles. Now he can't sleep, and now this is read to him. Now he hears, now he sees the record. But look at verse 1 of chapter 3, and you would have thought this would have read, okay, then Mordecai was exalted. No, and after these things did Ahasuerus promote Haman. Doesn't that seem odd? Not in God's plan. God intended for a while for Mordecai to be like forgotten. You remember someone else who was forgotten? Joseph was forgotten for 2 years. Joseph told the butler, he said, would you tell Pharaoh that I'm here and tell somebody to get me? And he forgot about him for 2 years, but one day he remembered. Can I tell you a little secret? You may not like the record. You may not believe the record. But you will never forget the record. Because it's here. Just so happened, he goes, read that again. On such and such a date, Mordecai told a Bigthan and Teresh that had plotted to kill the king. Was anything ever done for Mordecai? What was done for him? Was he exalted? Oh, no. That's verse 3. And the king said, now watch this. What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? How was this man honored? Well, part of his honor was he's recorded. Something I thought about was the woman with the alabaster box. Remember, she came and she poured it on our Lord's head, and he said, wherever this gospel is preached, this will be told as a memorial for this woman. And in every gospel account, we read it. It is a record of what that woman did. And that's how we honored her. You know why our Lord said, I will honor them that honor me. Well, how was Mordecai honored? It seemed like he was forgotten, and he's content to be a doorkeeper. Joseph was content to spend 2 more years in prison. Everything's on the Lord's time. The king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servant that ministered unto him, it's not recorded that nothing was ever done. You know why? Because nothing was ever done. If it had been done, they'd recorded it. But nothing's been done. Now what does the king think? And the king said, verse 4, who's in the court? Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house. He's the first one there. He gets up real early because he's on an errand. Why has he come so early? Because he has to get permission from the king. He wants authority from the king so he can go take care of Mordecai and hang him on the gallows. That's why he's come. He's not coming to praise Mordecai. He's coming to have him killed. So he's standing in the outside of the court to speak to the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he's prepared for him. And he told the king's servant, and he said unto the king, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. He can only come in because he's invited by the king. That's all Haman could do is stand there. It's just like Esther. She stands there and she has to be invited. Oh, what a picture of grace. God must invite you into his presence. Men talk about accepting Jesus as their personal Savior. They don't know anything about a sovereign God who sits on a throne. He must hold out his golden scepter to you. The king's probably still in his bed. He probably ain't even got out of bed. Said, tell old Haman to come on in here. You imagine what's going on in Haman's mind. Oh, here's my opportunity. I'm going to get what I want. It's all going to go my way. That's what he thinks. And the king's servant said, verse 5, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in. Before Haman can open his mouth, the king speaks. And where the king speaks, there's authority. And the king said unto him, Haman, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than me? Don't you see the pride, the arrogance? This is what I say. A lot of men read this book. They read the record and they think it's talking about them. Paul, it's not talking about honoring them, but he thinks it is, doesn't he? He thinks in his heart, who does the king want to praise and honor more than me? You know what all false religion is? It's about you. It's about bragging on you. It's about honoring you, giving you dignity. He says, what do you think? What do you think ought to be done to the man the king delighted to honor? Mordecai, Haman thinks, oh my goodness. You know something I just thought about? He totally forgets about Mordecai just for a few minutes. And it's all about him. Men only want to think about Christ to destroy him and jerk him off the throne. But Haman comes in and he thinks it's about him. And it's not. Who do you think would the king delight to honor more than myself? That's putting a whole lot of honor on a man, isn't it? Who do you think, above everybody, who do you think the king would delight to honor above everybody? Not just among men, but above men. That's what they really want. So what do you think Haman's going to say? Verse 7. And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Let me think for a minute, king. Let the royal apparel be brought, which the king wears. And the horse that the king rides upon, and the crown royal be set upon his head, to be dressed in the king's robe and have the king's crown. The only thing he doesn't have is the king's scepter. And he wants to ride on the king's horse. And the whole time he thinks he's talking about himself. Oh, when men find out it's not about them, it's about him. That's the one the king has delighted to honor above all men. That's Christ. Verse 9, and let this apparel and the horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princesses, not just anybody, but one of the king's most noble princesses, that he may array the man with all whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. God wants to honor this man. The king wants to honor this man. Leads him through the streets for everybody to see. And he thinks he's talking about Haman. It is hilarious. To me, when I read something like this, I mean, every time I read it and you share it with somebody, the first thing you do is just laugh. I think about in Psalms 2 where God said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? That's what Haman's doing. God shall laugh. All God has to do is make a king not sleep, call for the chronicles to be read, and he's going to honor this man instead of this man. Okay, that's what he told the king. Then the king said to Haman, boy, I can't wait. Can't wait to get that robe on and put the crown. I just can't wait. Boy, that's going to be my day. It's the day to celebrate Haman. There was a feast made, and it was the feast for Esther. But Haman thinks it's... And what's the sad thing is, what is so sad, this is what all natural men think. They think it's about them. They read Romans 8:28 and apply it to everybody. They read 1 Peter 13, it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that God can't save people because he can't will to save them. They don't know him. So Haman's standing there. So the king said to Haman, now make haste. Don't waste any time. And take the apparel and the horse, is that everything like you said? I just want to take time and read it slow. And do so to Mordecai. Can you imagine? He goes from being so big, someone said, he is so small, he could sit on a piece of paper and dangle his legs. He goes from thinking he's something to finding out he's nothing. In this little book of Esther, we see how God works to save his people. You go do that for Mordecai. He knows where Mordecai is at. He knows he's at the king's gate. Can you imagine how humiliating that is? I could see him, because you know, Mordecai don't show any respect for Haman. He don't deserve any. And I can see him coming carrying the robe and the crown, and he says he makes haste and he goes and gets Mordecai and said, Mordecai, the king told me to tell you to put this on. You know what I'm here to tell you this morning? The king puts on you his robe of perfect righteousness. That's how he honors you. He honors you and his son. Put the robe on and the crown and you sit on the king's beast. And you lead him through the street. And old Haman has to lead him. If it ain't bad enough, it just gets worse for him. And everybody, I can see everybody thought, well, I thought Haman would be on the horse. That's what you thought. You need to go back and read the record. It's because of the record that he's sitting on the horse. It's because of the record. That's why. And let nothing fail of all that you have spoken. Everything that Haman said should come to pass did. Everything you said, that's what I want you to do. Then took Haman, verse 11, and the horse and the array, and he arrayed Mordecai and brought him on horseback through the streets of the city and proclaimed before him, "Thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor." Listen. See, Haman wants to be king. He's not king. This is, and I missed it when I was reading it. He said, look back in verse 10. "The king said to Haman, 'Make haste and take the apparel of the horse, and thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the who? The Jew.'" Mordecai the Jew. He knows there's a decree made that all the Jews are to die. But you're to do it to Mordecai the Jew. Christ was hanging on the cross. What did they put above his name? "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." He's not a Jew which is one outwardly. He's a Jew which is one inwardly. Let me give you some verses. "I'm the Lord, that is my name. My glory will I not give to another. Them that honor me, I will honor them. What shall be done to the man the king delights to honor? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels." Now listen, "thou hast crowned him with glory and honor." You imagine when they come leading him in on the back of an ass. That's the king they're bringing into Jerusalem. That's the king. "Open up ye gates, you everlasting doors, and the king of glory shall come in." That's him. That's how he came in his humility. He won't come next time riding no ass. He'll come in the symbol of riding on a horse and all his host with him. Psalms 96, verse 6. "Honor and majesty are before thee, strength and beauty are in thy sanctuary." He said in John 5:23, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. "He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father." Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he's your God." Who honored him? The king honored him. And Haman, he leads him through the streets. Verse 12. What did Mordecai do after this? He went back to the king's gate. Nothing changed. Went right back to doing what he was always doing. You notice I've told you, I always notice that little three-letter word, but. But Haman hastened to his house mourning and having his head covered. He's going back home like a little dog with a tail between his legs. He's embarrassed. He's humbled. He's going to go back home so his wife and his family will brag on him and tell him how good he is. That's what they were the ones who advised him. Said he was there so sad. They said, "Haman, why don't you just make a gallows and take care of him?" See how that worked? He's not the same man he left that morning. He left that morning, I can see, he thinks I've got the world by the tail and everything's going to happen the way I planned it. And he comes back and I can see his wife said, "Well, what happened, Haman?" Can you imagine telling that story? The king's honored Mordecai and not me. "Came again to the king's gate, but Haman hastened to his house, mourning and having his head covered. And Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that he had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh, his wife, unto him, 'If Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall.'" Now he hears the true news. this is it for you. Even his family won't lie for him. Thou shalt not prevail, you won't prevail against Mordecai. Can you imagine when men finally are made to realize that they're not going to prevail against God? You think when that comes upon your conscience. I heard someone say this week, there was things that happened a year ago, and now they're just plain misery. I mean, miserable. They said, I can't find joy in anything. And this was just a job. They did not appreciate what they had. What his family should have told him, why don't you repent and ask Mordecai for forgiveness? They said, no, this is it for you. This is it. Thou shalt not prevail against him, but shall surely fall before him. Oh, how the tide has turned. All because a king couldn't sleep and reads the chronicles of the record. And while they were yet talking with him, oh, we forgot about Esther's banquet, hadn't we? While they're yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlain and hastened to bring Haman to the banquet that Esther has prepared. I can see him come knocking on the door, and they said, is Haman here? Yeah, he's here. Haman, was you not invited to a banquet? I can see him said, I'd forgot all about it. I'll get ahead of myself, but I think it'll be okay. At the banquet, the king says, Esther, what's your request? And I will give it unto you and to half the kingdom. She said, there's some man plotting the death of my people. And she reveals that she's a Jew. And he said, who is that that would try to destroy all the Jews? She said, it's that wicked Haman. And the king gets so angry, he walks out of the room. And when he comes back in, Haman's begging for his life. And he just happens to trip and fall on the bed with Esther laying there. And the king comes back in, so he thinks Haman's trying to force himself on the queen. King says, that's it. And somebody says, oh yeah, king, just so you'll know, Haman built a gallows, said, well, go out there and take him and hang him on it. God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. He plants his footstep on the sea and he rides upon the storm. It may seem like things are in a mess, but let me tell you, God is on the throne. And he's only ever wanted to honor one man. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. This is the one I'm going to exalt. And he's going to exalt all his people in him. What a book of Esther. Just such a small book about how God saves his people. We'll pick up our next Sunday.